the chair. Good evening. Welcome to the November meeting of the Board of Supervisors Economic Development Committee. We have a light agenda in terms of items tonight, although we have one that is the result of about 6 months of effort here, or at least consideration from the board. And so I think we will need to spend some time on it tonight. It has been duly noted that the Patriots play on Monday Night Football tonight, and I am a big Patriots fan. So we're going to do our best to try to get through.
In that case, I got plenty to talk about.
I'm sure the chairman will be filibustering. That's okay. So we're going to start off tonight with two presentations, one from Mr. Hemstreet, who's going to present the staff recommendation for the restructuring of the EDC, walk us through the changes that were made, the reasoning for them, and the process that took place. And then I'm going to turn the time over to the representatives of the EDC, Sean Kelly and Ted Lewis, to share some of their insight and input. And then we will perhaps open it up for questions, and then we'll get into the debate on the actual item. So, Mr. Hemstreet, we're going to give 10 minutes to you, 10 minutes to Mr. Kelly, and then we will be doing timing during the debate and discussion this evening so that we can move along in a relatively orderly fashion. I will turn the time over to you, Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had the opportunity to speak with probably all of you at this point on the proposed changes to the bylaws, and certainly with all of the, just looking at the room, all the EDC representatives who are present in the room tonight. So nothing that I should be talking about should be of any surprise or anything new to anybody who's hearing it. Based upon the direction of the board given on September 18th, 2013, I interpreted that as direction to go ahead and prepare a straw man of the bylaw changes based on where the board was at the time that the board gave the direction. I also interpreted the direction to be, once the straw man was completed, to share that with both the chairman of the EDC as well as with you, Supervisor Letourneau, as the designee of the board to work through the process. We finished, the motion from the board came in late September. Working with Julie Granfield and staff, we finished the proposed bylaw changes in mid to late October, and then held a meeting on October 30th, which included both you, Mr. Chairman, as well as Chairman Kelly from the Economic Development Commission. We received several comments during that session. From that session, we proceeded to the full EDC meeting on November the 1st. I did present all of the proposed changes to the full EDC at that meeting, and then subsequent to that, another meeting was held by the EDC Executive Committee on November 8th, which I attended along with Julie Granfield, and we took additional comments out of both of those processes with respect to the proposed bylaw changes. Several of those comments have been incorporated into the draft before you this evening. I intend to go through very quickly those changes to the bylaws as proposed and then comment on what staff perceives as the remaining outstanding issues or concerns that have been expressed by the EDC and their leadership. Most of this is coming from the red line copy, which is attachment 3 in your packet this evening. So very quickly, the proposed changes reduce the membership of the EDC from its current 47 members to 21 members. Those 21 members would be composed of 14 members based around the clusters who are voting members, and then 7 ex officio non-voting members. The majority of the reductions in the number come from the ex officio, both voting and non-voting ranks, as well as the elimination of the current C category and some of the B members. The proposal also eliminates the current EDC standing committees. The main reason for that is when you go from a body of 47 to essentially a body of 21, as staff, we have our concerns as to whether or not a body of 21 members can fully support 5 standing committees on a regular basis. So what we have done is proposed that there be an ad hoc process where the EDC comes and makes their recommended work plan proposal to the board in June of every year, and that the that ad hoc committees be formed around that work plan to execute the work that is agreed upon between the ED committee and the Economic Development Commission. Third, the EDC meetings, excuse me, go from monthly to bi-monthly. The nomination process and confirmation process that appoints regular EDC members would revert from their existing process and move to the board's standard process. And though, I mean, that is basically the changes that are being proposed in the in the in the proposed bylaws tonight. There are some comments from the meetings that I alluded to that have been incorporated into the bylaws, the proposed bylaws you have tonight. Initially, we had recommended an executive committee of five members. Right now, the exec committee consists of the chair and the vice chair of the EDC, and then the chairs of each of the standing committees. If standing committees go away, you need to have another process by which the exec committee is formed. So we had proposed that it'd be the chair and vice chair of the EDC and then three at-large members. Some of the feedback we got from the EDC was to have that be four at-large members. So the four at-large members is incorporated into the document. There would be two ex officio non-voting members on the exec committee, those being myself and the director of economic development. The original language under voting members seemed to imply that it was a one-to-one, one member for each cluster. In discussing it with both the EDC and the EDC exec committee, it appeared that that language was probably too tight. So that language has been loosened up in your proposal this evening. That makes it broader, so you could have two members from one category or whatever you need in terms of filling out the membership for the EDC. Because in the experience of the EDC itself and in their appointment process, they at times have had challenges with getting a one-to-one relationship of sectors to members. So that language has been loosened up. And also, finally, in the proposed bylaws, we had removed a reference to the past chairs or past chairman of the EDC. That language referring to past chairs as a resource and recommending some level of participation by past chairs has been reintroduced back into your straw man or proposed changes this evening. Some of the remaining issues, just very briefly, that I think you'll hear tonight from EDC leadership that remain outstanding can be broken down into three categories: concerns over membership, concerns over the nominating selection process, and then concerns about standing in ad hoc committees and how those committees are formed and assigned. Very quickly, on the membership issue, the EDC suggested going to 18 voting members, which would basically be accomplished by adding four additional at-large members. Right now, your 14 voting members as proposed are 12 cluster members and two at-large members for 14. Their proposal would simply add four of those members, four at-large members to that voting category. The EDC is also recommending that the existing C members be continued for 1 year. That has not been proposed by staff, but that is something that the EDC has recommended throughout our meetings with them. With respect to the nominating selection process, there has been some very strong commentary on behalf of the EDC that they would like to maintain their existing slate process that is recommended to the board on an annual basis. Through our discussions with them, we have proposed a alternative, if that's the pleasure of the committee and ultimately the board, which would be to follow the board standard process, but then perhaps once you receive all of the applications, the board would review those and send to the EDC those applications you want them to review, and then you could, you know, then you would have their input on whoever has applied. But then it would still follow the standard process with that exception. With respect to standing versus ad hoc committees, the EDC, while they appreciate the change that the board has proposed or that I have proposed on behalf of the board, they would prefer some flexibility in the process. I believe they're okay with annually establishing kind of the main committees around the work plan, but they have requested that the chairman of the EDC be permitted to form ad hoc committees for up to 6 months for issues as they arise. And if there's a need to extend that beyond the 6 months, then that would, of course, come to this committee for a decision. I'm sorry, one more issue on membership. They've also recommended that four additional ex officio non-voting members be added. So there's seven that are in that 21 number. Those seven are myself, the Director of Economic Development, Visit Loudon, the President of the Chamber, the EDA Chairman, the Leesburg Mayor or the Mayor's Representative, and then a representative from the Coalition of Loudon Towns. Those are the seven recommended standing or ex officio non-voting members. To that list, the EDC has recommended that a representative from the Small Business Development Center be added, the school superintendent of schools, the Airports Authority CEO, and then a member from the Washington Airports Task Force. And then finally, so that is the additional change of membership. Finally, with respect to transition, we have proposed that all these changes take place on 1 January 2014. Essentially, we would accomplish the change by all existing B members would transfer over if they have remaining term. Anybody who does not have a remaining term would lapse. So that would include all of the ex officio members with the exception of the seven that I've mentioned, as well as all the C members and, of course, any B member who whose term has lapsed. The one exception to that is we have recommended to you that you consider the appointment of Ted Lewis. His term lapses on 31 December. We would recommend you reappoint him as he is the incoming chair. My 10 minutes have expired, Mr. Chairman.
Right on time. I'm impressed. Why don't I go ahead? Why don't we hear from the EDC, and then we'll have questions after both. Mr. Kelly.
I don't have I don't need 10 minutes. Okay. I think Mr. Hemstreet covered it. First, I want to thank Tim and Julie for their work in putting this together. I think they did a great job, and they captured a lot of things. And the EDC is pleased to stay under their under the umbrella of the Board of Supervisors. Beyond that, it's all workable. I mean, you've seen our reaction to it. It was presented to the EDC at our meeting earlier this month. We also had a good working session of the Executive Committee. You know, I think we can work with this. We've made some counter proposals to the suggestions in the bylaws, but I think it's all pretty much workable. I think the main areas, a couple of things that Tim pointed out, the appointment of members. You know, we would like the ability to at least have 30 days to look at resumes and applications as they come in and kind of tell you what we need and where we might have a hole, limiting to just the clusters might not be adequate enough. And we think going to 18 voting members would give us the coverage that we need of the different industries and disciplines that we've had in the past. The ad hoc committees, we would like just some flexibility in creating those to respond to your thoughts in the past about being nimble so that if an issue arises, we can form those in addition to the ones that Tim mentioned that we would form annually. We would form those for up to 6 months to be able to work on a specific task or issue. Other than that, the transition to C members, we do have five C members, typically we have five today in the bylaws. One will fall off, and we'd like to maintain four of those five. In the past, as you know, we've used those as kind of placeholders. As B memberships come up, we slot them into a B membership, so it gives us kind of our farm team, if you will. That'll go away, and that's fine. What we've said at the Executive Committee to give the C members an additional year to the end of next year, and if there are vacancies next year, they can apply like everybody else. So that at least gives them some time to transition off the EDC or back on as a permanent member. And as I've said in the past, we can accomplish the reduction, I think, through attrition, just given some time. Next year we'll have, I don't have the exact count, but we'll have a number of B memberships that do lapse. So there will be vacancies next year. So we should be able to get down to that number pretty comfortably, I think, by the end of next year. One addition to that, I thought of this after our comments were in, as far as non-voting, something to consider, it might be worthwhile asking somebody from Loudoun Water to be on the EDC as well to make that connection, since we have the EDC, the EDA, excuse me, on there as well. So that's kind of where we are. I think it's all workable, just the details and how we go about.
We had somebody from Loudoun Water.
Huh?
At least we had somebody. We had somebody from Loudoun Water for the last year.
But somebody from one of the employees of Loudoun Water, rather than somebody from the board, as a standing member.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything you wanted to add?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, my intention tonight was to go ahead, open it up for questions now, and then move the underlying staff recommendation. And then if committee members have amendments, perhaps to accommodate some of the issues, then we can entertain those one by one. I did just want to ask, just for clarity on the issue of recommendations, the board currently does not solicit recommendations from Loudoun Water in terms of appointments, correct? We changed the process last year. We wanted to get Loudoun Water more perhaps in sync with how we do other ones, and we wanted to sort of screen to some extent the applicants. And so I know that Loudoun Water has been weighing in on the potential nominations, but we have not actually asked them to do so formally as part of our process, right?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that that was the case.
Let me just clarify. Loudoun Water has only weighed in on those who are expressing a desire for reappointment, but they don't look over anybody who has submitted resumes that have not served on Loudoun Water.
Right. Any other questions for Ms. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 8 of our iPad, and I'm sorry, gentlemen, I don't know what that is in your documents, but that's under the required economic development committee approval for formation of ad hoc committees. So underneath the elimination of standing committees. It's the first section of the documents. So it should be somewhere in the first few pages. There's a statement in quotes there, standing committees of the Economic Development Commission will be recommended annually to the board's Economic Development Committee to align with the Economic Development Commission's work plan in support of the Department of Economic Development strategic plan and the county's strategic vision. And then goes on and on. So I guess this was extracted from the bylaws, is that correct? Where does this come from?
It's I believe quote. That was a motion from the EDC exec committee. Just for references, page A of the iPod, iPad, page 6 of the staff report.
Okay.
A hard copy.
All right.
But that is a motion that was passed by the EDC exec committee.
Okay. So that is helpful. I mean, I'm happy to see the reference to the alignment, because of course I think that's been part of all of the discussions about trying to restructure and be more nimble and align more with the board's priorities in an action fashion, because you have been, I think, for the most part, aligned just a little bit afterwards of our action on various items. But my question has to do with the process and in going forward with the work plan that you create. So my recommendation or my request would be, would you folks be supportive of a process? Do you think the EDC would be supportive of a process whereby the board would create the priorities for the EDC to work from, to create a work plan on, and then you would come back quarterly, just as Mr. Hemstreet, well, we have the Department of Economic Development, and we have reports that come forth quarterly, in order to see if we're in alignment. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. Yes. Because we, I'm trying to look for this page in here, but it's a combination of your priorities, I think the department, what the department's strategic plan is, and so, yeah, we would certainly work together on that and form the, I think I understand your question, form the ad hoc committees around that.
Okay.
To address issues that arise from that.
And so that's the big picture, and that's helpful for the strategic plan, but in terms of the action items, and we've discussed the issue of aligning with the work that we're doing up here on the board, because I think we're moving pretty quickly on things. It's my opinion that it would be helpful if you were to come back quarterly and for us to be checking with you to make sure that we're in alignment there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think mechanically, I think, you know, in addition to forming the committees annually, there may be committees formed by the EDC chair or by the chair of the ED committee. If an issue arises or something that needs to be looked at quickly, I think we can do that. And I think that was the idea, was to have those committees formed on an as-needed basis as opposed to having the standing committees and trying to eliminate those. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's working together to accomplish that, to get to that the idea of being nimble.
Okay. And do you think the EDC would be open and receptive to a change of the name, such as Business Development Commission, just for the sake of, we've had this discussion so many times over and over again, the EDC, the DED. But
I don't know if it goes, our mission is overall economic development. We're not on the boots on the ground developing business. We're trying to set the stage for overall economic growth. So I don't think it's a, you know, I don't know what the number, I can't speak for the members, but I know historically that it economic development seems to encompass a lot of things, not just business development.
And I respect that. I just want to know where you stood. I think one or the other of us needs to change the name. But,
okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One more comment on the committees. I understand what you're saying about the priorities, but I also think the EDC should have the flexibility where there is an issue to be able to identify that. I mean, it might be an issue that the board isn't aware of or that isn't a priority, but that could end up being a priority. So, I think, and that's one of the things that we had recommended, was having the ability to form a ad hoc committee that has a sunset on it, on something that the EDC, you know, takes the lead on, I guess.
Mr. Lewis, I appreciate you saying that. I agree with you to a certain extent. The only thing that I would appeal to you on with respect to that would be if you would check the status with the board first before you would actually move forward with the ad hoc committee to work on an item that maybe we've already taken a position on and taken action on.
Well, that's as recommended in the staff report. That is how it's structured. And so when we get to that point, I think I will open it up if there's changes to that. But the structure now would have the EDC come to this committee and ask before setting up an ad hoc committee. The theory really being because the board itself does not have the authority to instruct staff as individual board members to go staff any kind of meeting. We have to get full consent of the board before we can even allocate even the slightest bit of staff resources. So it did not seem in line with the board's own authority to be able to instruct a member of a commission to set up any sort of committee that would, in fact, impact staff resources. Other questions at this time? Okay. I will go ahead then and move that the Economic Development Committee recommend to the Board of Supervisors restructure of the Economic Development Commission and revision to the bylaws as proposed by staff.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Clark. By way of opening, I would like to thank everybody who was involved in this process, particularly Ms. Granfield and Mr. Hempstreet from the county side, and many members of the EDC, Mr. Pacciulli, Mr. Lewis, Mr. Kelly, Ms. Frank, who really gave good input to us. I think we have been listening the whole time. It may have not always have seemed like that, but at the end of the day, our job is to get to a product. And that's what the staff was trying to achieve here. I think the staff did a good job encapsulating most of the input from the board throughout the six-month process. This originally came to us through a proposal back in May to move the EDC as more of a community-based organization. And I can't help but think, perhaps during this process, that maybe that should have been something that was more seriously entertained, only because it would have given extreme flexibility to some EDC members who wish to have it. But the reality, at least for me, is at the end of the day, the EDC is an advisory commission to the board. And it didn't seem to make a lot of sense to proceed in a way that we were, in which the board is really not appointing members of the EDC, and it doesn't have much say into what the work plan is and what the structure is. And so I think we've gotten to those issues. The other major issue, at least for me going into this, was the staff resource issue, both publicly and privately. We were hearing quite a bit about the amount of time that it was taking just because of all the standing committees and the monthly meetings and the sheer number of members of the EDC. And I think we've gotten to that issue as well in this document. So I think this is a good product. I'm sure it you know, potentially could be tweaked around the edges, and nothing is perfect. And we don't have to be married to something forever, but in order to at least get us started tonight, I am overall in support of it, and I will listen to what other members have to say on specific issues. Ms. Clark.
Mr. Chairman, would you accept a friendly amendment to add a representative from the small business segment? Yes, thank you. Small Business Development Center and MWA.
Why don't you go ahead and make that just as a standing motion?
All right. Well, I move to add a representative from the Small Business Development Center, from MWA, Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority, and the school system superintendent.
Okay. Motion is made. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Williams. Opening, Ms. Clark.
I had a discussion with Mr. Hemstreet about this previously and was aware that this request was out there, and it makes absolute sense to me, although I think that the request to also have someone from the Washington Airport Task Force wasn't necessary, and the MWA both represents the airport and Metro in a broader spectrum.
Other comments? Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me ask for clarification first. These are non-voting positions, correct? And I'm not sure who I'm direct. Mr. Lewis? Okay. I'm not going to support this amendment. The Loudoun County Public Schools mission is to educate our children, not economic development. When we start adding organizations, be it SBDC or Mason or these types of things, I think we start turning the EDC back into a networking event. Especially the more they're non-voting positions. The EDC can go to these folks at any time when you're working on an item to solicit their input. If you feel you need input from MWA or SBDC or the schools, we can do that at any time without them having to be EDC members. The more we increase this thing, the more I think we're getting away from our original objectives. And the first objective, first and foremost, was to try to align the BOS and the EDC together so that we're all working on one common goal, one common work plan. And I think that by adding these kinds of positions, we start turning it back to that networking function. They're not voting, so what do they bring to the table in the room? Because you can solicit their input. So I'm not going to support the amendment. Thank you.
Other comments on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion fails 2-3, Ms. Clark and Mr. Williams in support. Additional comments, Mr. Williams.
Thank you. I appreciate where we've gone. When we started this process, certainly I had wasn't in the weeds quite like you, Mr. Letourneau, but certainly had an expectation that really the objective we were trying to get here was to try to align the board with what EDC was doing, just trying to get on the same page, and it didn't seem like that was happening. That being said, I'm very much in support of the work plan. I think that's really where it happens, and in getting kind of our initiatives in lockstep with you so we can have your expertise. And it's unfortunate that this was kind of rolled out, and now we're talking about the appointment process and the membership, and I know some of those changes did not sit well with much of the membership, and that's a disappointment, because I think the message we wanted to get out of this was that we wanted to better utilize the expertise and certainly try to encourage membership and get that feedback. And so hopefully going forward we'll be able to get there. I was very pleased when we opened up tonight to hear Sean say that we were much closer. I mean, based on some of the communications I know we'd gotten from Mr. Lewis and some others, I didn't know that we were that close at all. So I'm pleased to hear that you feel as though we are much closer than maybe I perceived coming in here tonight. I would like to make an amendment. I think that's kind of where what we need to do up here is kind of walk through these different issues that the county administrator brought up in terms of recommendations that came from the EDC that aren't contemplated in the original bylaw changes. So I would like to make an amendment to have a 30-day review process by the EDC as part of the appointment process.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Bona. Opening, Mr. Williams.
No, sir. I think it's only fair that if there's, if the board's going to be making these appointments, I think it certainly would be the appropriate to have the EDC weigh in to find out if that skill set and that expertise would be valuable to their committee. There may be some redundancy in some of the areas. There might be areas where they need expertise, and we don't want to necessarily take a voting member a resume that may be very well qualified, but we have a gap somewhere else we may need. So I think having your input, and you can tell us if 30 days is appropriate. We certainly want to make sure that we're putting folks on the committee that are appropriate and they're going to serve your interest of being able to appropriately advise us and having the right skill set to do that. So that's why I'm bringing it up, sir.
Okay. Comments on the motion, Mr. Bona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I seconded this motion because I think it's a good compromise. We do have a standard process. The board is, we appoint over 50 commissions. It's a lot. And we've been working over the last 2 years to try to standardize all of these so that they all follow that same process. I think the EDC is a little bit different. A lot of water is a little bit different, but most of them follow the regular process. We need to make sure, though, that there's enough time from the time terms start to incorporate this review time. So we need to go out a little earlier and solicit, like we just did for Loudoun Water, allowing ample time for the EDC. And the EDC, I think, you know, it's not so much up or down. I think it's, well, how about this cluster? Or we've got this well covered, but we don't have this well covered. Maybe you ought to consider somebody from that area. And I think you can look at the overall composition of the EDC based on the applications and come back with some good recommendations to us. So I think this is a good compromise. Thank you.
Mr. Hampshire, you need clarification?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, from a staff perspective, I think it would be prudent to ask the EDC if 30 days is sufficient given the way the calendars come up. It may need to be 45 days, but I think that's something that we should hear from the EDC on.
Well, I currently manage the nominating committee, and the timetable we have now is we get in resumes in September and we make our selections and recommendations mid-October. It does involve 3 full days of all the executive committee basically looking through the resumes and doing the interviews. But I think if we're given resumes and we have 30 days, we can certainly get back to the Board of Supervisors on our recommendations as a committee. It may not line up for to have a full EDC meeting, but we don't do it that way anyways. We have a nominating committee that represents the EDC.
One thing that might be helpful is to, before we go out to solicit resumes and positions, to advise you these are the type of people that we think we need or where we need expertise. So that may help in the selection process as well, so that you can kind of tailor it that way. That would be helpful.
Okay. Other comments, Chairman York?
After all these years, I think with all the names that you have sent to the Board of Supervisors, I think there may have been, at least I can remember one, maybe two, that the board objected to. If it ain't broke, I don't know why we need to fix it. And now what we've added is an extra step to the process where we're going to get the names, we're going to fight over them up here unless there's not enough that have been submitted, having to do balloting and et cetera. Then we come up with the pool, we send it to you for a recommendation with perhaps the expectation, if you're concerned about something, somebody, you might make a suggestion which probably won't get changed up here. I think it evolves into being just a little bit more messier situation. And there has been no problem with it the way it has been. So I don't know why we need to take over control to fix something that has not been broken. The only thing that we had a problem with was the expectation at the time the EDC I think, or by some of its members, that we were going to 100% approve the slate. And generally we have. Again, going back over the years, there was a problem with, and again, I can remember one individual that we did not approve. And there could have been a second one, or at least I know there was a concern about a second one, but it went, that one I'm thinking of went through. To me, I don't want the added work to have to fight up here about the extra folks. I was happy with the EDC making the recommendations to the board and the board then approving it. It worked well.
Ms. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a different perception of how this process would work with the applications coming into the board, similar to what we deal with now on the 50-some-odd other committees, commissions, boards, and that's where we advertise the positions, we get the resumes in to our offices. Of course, then we process them here. We make decisions on our appointments. I would envision that process of advertising and the resumes coming into this board, but then all of those resumes going to you folks, going to the EDC first, and then you come back to us with the recommendations. At least then we're able to see the full slate up front of who's interested in these positions before it goes to you, and we will also have time to look at those people as you are at the same time. So I don't think they'll necessarily, I don't think we'll have a ballot all the time. I don't think that'll be by default.
One thing, currently we do supply the resumes of the individuals that apply to the EDC to the Board of Supervisors in our current nominating process.
But that is when we receive the nominations back to us. That's after you have already digested them.
No, we also, at the beginning of the process, after we get the resumes in and go through those, we send all the resumes to the Board of Supervisors of the individuals that we've selected for interviews. And then when we, after we do the interviews and make our nominations, then it goes to the EDC for a full vote, then it comes to the Board of Supervisors. My understanding, the way it works.
Well, I have to apologize. I don't recall seeing it that way. I could be incorrect.
They supply them. I think it's just a fact that we just necessarily don't pay attention because until at the time that they come to us with the item, but they're there available.
All right, just to be clear, I think in terms of what the amendment is proposing, I assume this is based off of the language that was in the staff report, which reads, after resumes come into the board's office, the board could forward resumes to the EDC for review for a 30-day period. The EDC could then provide their recommendations to the board as to who they believe should be appointed to the EDC. I think it gives the board some flexibility to just simply forward all the resumes, but as the way I'm reading this, as could, it doesn't mean we have to. And perhaps that is a way to address the issue, because I'll be honest. If you guys make a recommendation to us, I'm not going to feel comfortable up here torpedoing it. I think that creates a very ugly public political situation, which does not benefit anybody. So I think there needs to be some sort of back and forth, and I have felt personally very hamstrung by this process because I don't have any input into who's really on the EDC. All I have is a slate that comes to me, and if I choose to make a huge issue out of it, I can at the very end, but that doesn't really make much sense. And so I think at least with this, we have a little bit more input at the beginning part of the process. I would anticipate, as Ms. Clark said, in all likelihood, all of the resumes would be forwarded, but it does give the board an option not to do that if there's a reason not to do that. I will ask, though, what will happen if the board chooses not to follow the EDC's recommendations? How will you feel?
There are times and times I disagree with the Board of Supervisors, and that's just the way it goes. You know, our job's really just to, we're focused on economic development, and I mean, we get upset at all kinds of things, but I don't think it's going to impact our role, our ability to work on behalf of Loudoun.
My only concern here is that if the board for some reason doesn't follow the recommendations, then this is going to be perceived as some sort of slight, and you're going to have, you know, bad feelings over it.
I think the proof's in the pudding. I mean, if there's some individual for some reason the EDC doesn't think should be on the EDC, and that individual comes in and performs very well, I think that's what we're looking for, somebody that's going to participate and work, especially with smaller numbers. Everybody's going to have to work. So I'm not overly concerned about that. Hopefully we'll be in alignment even on the individuals that are going to go to the EDC, but certainly it's going to come up, and I think it's going to be how the individual performs will set the standard for whether that was a good decision or not. Just like when the nominating committee selects somebody and that individual, and we've had a couple of instances where we thought they were great, they came in and they didn't show up, and we had to take some action. It happens right. Sometimes.
And I think, at least in my opinion, I think the way we view this is that we're talking about their background and their experience and not necessarily the individual. We would say the recommendation is this person, we have a need for this type of person and so forth. It doesn't have to be this person. There could be three people that satisfy that. Any one of the three would be okay. And the other thing is, you know, we trust you all because you're engaged in this. You ran on platform of economic development. We're also trying to build this for the future boards that aren't so inclined. So we got to make this stand the test of time.
Well, hopefully, if we do our job, there will be no more future boards.
That's right.
Okay, closing statement, Mr. Williams.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Certainly, my intention, if I had a nominee or somebody was interested in being on the EDC, I think the first thing I would do, and this didn't be part of the formal amendment, but I would be vetting it through my point of contacts on the EDC, and I would want to make sure I'm submitting somebody who was well qualified and that was going to be part of the process. And as part of this discussion, and if I could just get the attention of the chairman and Supervisor Letourneau real quick. Well, this is what I need to understand, and it's based on the comments that Chairman York made, because we all voted for the underlying motion for this appointment process. So my motion is specific to this appointment process and having a 30-day review for the EDC. But there seemed to be support for this appointment process that's in the bylaw change. So I guess I'm just a little, not take it back, it's not the right word, but I just need some clarity, because is there pushback on the underlying motion and based on the chairman's comments?
Well, I think that would be a question for the chairman. Would you like to ask him?
Well, I'm asking through the chair.
Mr. Hemstreet, if this motion does not pass, what happens? If then the main motion passes, what's the process?
You just don't get a 30-day review cycle. That's the only part of it.
If the amended motion doesn't pass, then it would be the underlying motion, which is in the bylaws, which would be the board standard process.
Right. And well, I don't have comment, and I don't support either that's on the table, but I will be supportive of this one because the other line, but that may hesitate my or change my, well, I'm making comment where I'm.
No, I apologize. I was just getting clarity because you did support the underlying motion, which is the bylaw change.
I don't think anyone supported anything yet.
All right, very good. I'm closed.
Are you finished with
your
vote?
Closed. My okay. 30 days. I think it makes sense.
All in favor of the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I was trying to get your attention. Just before we take this vote, just clarity on this motion.
this motion would establish a 30-day review process as set forth as an option under application, nomination, and confirmation process. So the I will read it. After resumes come into the board's office, the board could forward those resumes to the EDC for review for a 30-day period. The EDC could then provide their recommendations to the board as to who they believe should be appointed to the EDC.
All right. So this
motion would mandate that process.
But it's not circumventing or removing the underlying motion.
It is amending the underlying motion
right,
with that process. Yes. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 4-1 with Chairman York opposed. Mr. Williams.
Sure. I don't know how that time worked, but dare I ask for another amendment? I will. I thought the request for the ad hoc committees to give the EDC the flexibility to essentially determine ad hoc committees for a finite period of time, I think that makes perfect sense. And because a lot of times, you know, a lot of, just as we know, we do most of our work in committees, and I think there's value there. I would like to make a motion, Chairman Letourneau, to allow the EDC to be able to create ad hoc committees as necessary.
Is there a second?
No,
Seconded by Chairman York. Opening by Mr. Williams.
I already think I gave it, and Sean or Ted, feel free to weigh in on this, but I think having, being able to, as we're working through the work plan, and you have issues that might have a certain area, maybe it's transportation focus, maybe, you know, education focus, I think it certainly makes sense to have a committee of, you know, 3 to 5 people, however they determine, to be able to go out and focus on that issue. Again, in my mind, I think the way this is really effective is similar to the way we did the Government Reform Commission. And a lot of those issues were spun off into subcommittees where they went and they had people that were committed to that issue, doing that research, digging into it, and coming back, making a recommendation to their collective, and then coming back to us. So I think that process works, and I don't see any really downside for us in terms of why we wouldn't allow them that flexibility. Thank you.
Okay. Comment on the motion, Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since staff is associated with the ad hoc committees, and there was the comment made about that, I cannot support this motion. I think that we're still including a provision for ad hoc committees to be created. It's just under a different process.
Other comments, Mr. Bona?
Yes, thank you. I actually have mixed feelings about this. I understand the flexibility the EDC wants, and a positive is that these committees would sunset in 6 months. The other side of it, though, is that this committee meets every single month, and what the underlying motion has is you come to the committee and say we'd like to create this ad hoc committee. If we met quarterly or something to that effect, I could understand it's a problem. You're going to meet bi-monthly, once every 2 months. We meet monthly, so I'm not sure it's really difficult to have you come to this committee and just say, hey, we've got an idea. We want to form an ad hoc committee to get George Mason University into Loudoun County. And the committee says, have at it. Go. Fly like the beagle. And the other side of it is that we're trying to make sure this whole process, again, was to align what the EDC does with the Board of Supervisors strategic plan. And if you're creating a committee that's not aligned with that plan, then the energy may be going in the wrong place. And so there's two sides to this particular motion. And as of the moment, I'm not sure that I'm going to support it. Thank you.
Mr. Williams, can I get clarity on your motion? Was your motion to allow the EDC to set up ad hoc committees, period, or was there a six-month sunset? Because what you said did not have the six-month sunset.
No, it didn't. I said the ad hoc committees would have a finite period of time associated with them, but whether it would be 6 months or 3 months or 9 months, I did not make that part of the
motion. So actually, you have not. So you are not necessarily following the alternative presented here. You were just making a motion saying that they should be able to set up ad hoc committees with no time.
I'm letting them have more latitude to form committees as needed.
Thank you for that. I'm not going to support that motion. I think I expressed earlier from a pure function of government standpoint, that gives the EDC greater power than the board itself has as individual supervisors. We have to go through a process and get consent of the board before we can embark on anything, and especially if that is going to embark in staff resources. Ms. Clark and I right now are working together on something in her district, and before we can even come to the board and ask for staff to look at it, we are preparing an item to bring it to the board, and because we have to get consent before we can even ask our staff to even work on it. So this puts the EDC in a different place, and I don't, and because there are staff involved in this, and we have determined as part of this process that we would need to have minutes taken, we would probably need staff support for these meetings in order to make you more effective and to follow FOIA, which is ultimately our responsibility. I don't really think that it's a good idea to get into that. I also think that there is the ability with us meeting monthly to have you come back. I don't think anything's going to come up that urgently where there can't be some feedback from the board. And in the event that it did, there's nothing to prevent us from having conversations in between meetings and sort of giving a nod and saying, well, why don't you start thinking about this and start getting things going, and then we'll get it on the agenda right away and we'll get it going. I mean, I think we can generally get a feel for where board members are, and that's what staff does with us in between meetings when we have things that come up. So that's my comment on this.
So the only comment I have in closing is
Other comments, first of all? No, Mr. Williams.
If I put a six-month term on it, will you support it then?
I would not.
Okay. Well, I don't know why you asked the question then. All right.
Well, because the motion could pass, and then we would need clarity on what you were.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Okay. I'll
make a comment.
Sure.
You take comments? Sure. I understand your concern, and the only thing I would bring up that I would offer against that is it was a very good example. When we, the Economic Development Commission, put on the first presentation on rail, we had no board support. It was back 2004, 2005. We certainly wouldn't have gotten support if we had requested it from the Board of Supervisors, because at the time they weren't really in favor of it. And so I do... Our concern is that those type of issues that maybe aren't on a specific board's priority list, but maybe are in the best interest of Loudoun County in the long term, wouldn't get addressed. And by being able to form an ad hoc committee and look at the issue, at least gives the business community the opportunity to sort of have their say on issues like that. So I do think that it's, whether it's a six-month or a three-month sunset, I mean, I think there's some value in that.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. No. Okay, the motion fails 2-3 with Mr. York and Mr. Williams in favor. Mr. Bono.
Yes, thank you. One of the concerns that was raised by past chair, current chair, incoming chair, all the chairs, was the C membership category. And we are trying to keep the size of the EDC smaller than it was. But at the same time, I do think that the current C members do provide a value. I don't necessarily support adding C members permanently to the voting member category, but I do think it would be wise to follow the EDC's recommendation concerning transition of those C category members. So as such, I'm going to move that the Economic Development Committee recommend to the full Board of Supervisors to recommend the reappointment of four C members for a one-year term ending 12/31/2014 as part of a transition year, after which they can apply for any vacant voting membership slots that may exist.
Motion's made by Mr. Bonas, seconded by Chairman York.
No opening.
Other comments on the motion? Closing.
Closing.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Ms. Clark opposed. Other motions or amendments? Mr. Williams.
Okay. There was a recommendation, and I don't think it has support based on the tone of the committee, to add four additional at-large members to the EDC, and I will make that motion.
Motion is to add four additional at-large members to the EDC. Is there a second? There is no second. Additional. Mr. Bona will second it for discussion. Opening, Mr. Williams.
Again, I think that the intent of this is not too dissimilar to what Supervisor Clark was trying to do in trying to get some additional expertise. I don't think we need to go there. Certainly the comments Supervisor Bona made in terms of having an MWOT representative or Washington Task Force representative or school board task force, that matter, doesn't mean you can't go out and solicit their feedback. And that makes sense to me. But I think there is going to be some current membership that want to be able to weigh in. And to my original thoughts in the very beginning of my comment period, which was we don't necessarily want to discourage these volunteers from being able to weigh in and give us feedback. And I think there's great value in that feedback. So I think this is just kind of, as we kind of go through that transition, and Mr. Lewis said, or Mr. Kelly said, that we can, through attrition, get to these numbers that we're requesting. So that's kind of the... where I am with the request.
Other comments on the motion, Mr. Boner?
Yes, let me ask a clarification. Under the current underlying motion, there are 14 voting members, is that correct? For a total of 21? Okay.
And just to further clarify, for next year, the committee at least just added the five.
The four C, C or five, C. I think yep. it was four C positions, correct? But that's for a one-year transition.
For 1 year.
The clusters, or however we want to define them in the bylaws for bringing members on the EDC, those are really intended as guidance more than hard fact in the bylaws. I'll let Ms. Lewis comment if you like, or Sean. Is that, you agree with that interpretation?
Yeah, it's still, I think it's aligned with the department, but yes, yeah.
Do you think future EDCs will agree with that interpretation? Or do you think they're going to take it more as by? One of the problems we get sometimes is we'll throw out something like a guideline and it becomes the Bible the next day and we can never quite pull it back.
Right. We have today, we have representation from different industries. So we try not to stack it with one real estate development in the past, but not, so it's not stacked with one particular industry or another. But so there's representation for the ED department when these clusters to get people who are aligned with those clusters, I think is the best way to put it. So we kind of follow that format today.
Right. But clusters can change over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who would have known data centers 10 years ago? Right. And it doesn't mean your bylaws are going to change all the time. I mean, some of these bylaws are in place a long, long time. So it might actually make sense, and as much as I want a small number, I think it could make sense to allow a little more flexibility to accommodate new clusters that could occur in the future, or maybe you have a gap somewhere that you'd like to fill, or maybe all of a sudden you say, well, we need two from the data center industry because, boy, we have two hardworking, great people that are coming on. So for that reason, I'm actually going to support this motion.
Other comments, Ms. Clark?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have worked on a lot of volunteer committees, a lot of committees, commissions, boards over the years. And in terms of volunteers, they don't always have to be appointed. They don't always have to be members. You have numerous folks that attend your meetings in order to understand what's going on there because they want to be involved. Maybe they want to be a future member. And there's many, many opportunities to reach out and seek their input. People can get involved without having to be a member. We have other committees, commissions, boards that do that for different efforts as well. In fact, we have entire groups that pull together on an ad hoc basis that are not members of anything, just on an informal basis, in order to provide us information, the board information, on something they've researched. So I will not support this motion because I just don't see the necessity to add additional members when those people are there available for you to reach out to in a dynamic basis.
Okay. Other comments? I will make my comment. I'm going to oppose the motion, particularly because we have made these changes and we have asked for recommendations, which I think checks us from getting into too deeply one category or the other, that it is now an issue that EDC could flag for us, and because we have decided to allow for the transition to occur more smoothly. So I'm not as concerned about contributing members getting bumped off the EDC right away, which is a concern that had been expressed that I heard very clearly from the EDC leadership. We have revised, and staff, after obtaining input, revised the clusters a little bit, or revised the way this was worded so that we were no longer married specifically to those 14 clusters. And so that really we were just looking within the five larger areas and we were giving ourselves a lot more flexibility. So I believe within the existing structure that's in the underlying document, there is room to fit in almost every foreseeable contributor that you could want. Plus, we still do have some at large slots. So I think we probably could cover everything here. The point about the clusters changing over time is well taken, but I think that's really more about updating the bylaws more frequently instead of every, you know, however long it's been since 1995, rather than waiting. And so for those reasons, I won't support the motion. Closing, Mr. Williams.
Any additional comments from Mr. Lewis or Mr.
Kelly? I had a question. There's currently 21 B members. So you were saying they're going to transition. I mean, at the end of next year, we have 7 B members that will be at the end of their term. So
I was referring to the C members. The concern was that the C members that are currently good C members that are contributing won't have a place to go if they're immediately kicked off because we didn't have a C category. And so because we're keeping that C category for a year, at least that keeps them contributing and then allows them to apply for one of the existing slots. And you do have B members who are rolling off through attrition anyway.
So starting January 1, 2014, we would have seven B members would have to be eliminated from the commission, correct?
I think that's correct, yes.
How would that process
work? I mean, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
The way that it would work under the transition clause that's included is that, well, minus any amendments, it's 14 voting members and 10 non-voting ex officio members, correct? And so...
I think it's the seven still. Seven.
You didn't add the other members?
We did not.
Okay, I'm sorry. Apologize for that. But it's a seven ex officio, 14 within the cluster. So what would happen is as all the existing B members are rolled over, as their terms expire, they would just lapse until you get down to under the 14 that is in the bylaws, and then we would go ahead and advertise to come back up. So those B members will remain until their term expires.
Right. I'm sorry if I misunderstood your question. Okay. You want to continue your closing?
No, I would like to.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion carries 3-2. Myself and Ms. Clark opposed. We are back to the underlying motion. Are there any other requests for changes or amendments? Any comment on the underlying motion?
Can't speak to the main motion.
Yeah, we're on the main motion. Chairman York.
First of all, gentlemen, because I voted no on the add of the 30 days, I did so because I don't even think that was, for myself, not appropriate. We said could. We didn't even say shall. Come to you and seeking recommendations. And again, I firmly believe that. The process works just fine as it is. With respect to the remaining document, I'll go ahead and support under my own little protest on that one item. But we did have a few things. This will overall improve, I believe, and the whole connection between the board and the EDC, mainly ensuring our responsibility to work with you to give you a workload so you don't sit there floundering and flapping in the wind and possibly coming to us in something that you perceive. I think it is our responsibility, regardless of whether it's EDC or other committees or commissions, that we have somewhat of a responsibility to ensure that they've got a work plan in place. But I certainly appreciate all of the hard work that you guys do on behalf of Loudoun County. And the advice over the years has been tremendous and very helpful. And Mr. Chairman, I won't make a motion now, but just something to give food for thought. In terms of the name, EDC, the problem for us is not so much advertising. It's just confusing when somebody comes and says, I need to take something to the EDC. And we quite possibly think we need to get it to you when we're talking about this body or vice versa. And perhaps what we need to change this commission to is just the economic. Now I'm forgetting what I thought I'd coming up. I'll think about it and come back to you on that. So,
well, I believe.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Economic Advisory Committee.
I believe the name is in the bylaws. So, if that is a change that you want to make, we are dealing with the bylaws.
Well, I wasn't going to make it now unless the board unless the committee wants to support it. I just threw it out there to give some thought to it and. I see Mr. Kelly kind of swaying back and forth, so I'm just curious the reaction.
I'm curious the difference between a commission and a committee. Fairfax has an economic advisory committee, so that's what they call theirs, which is not as formal as EDC because they have an EDA.
The only thing I'm just trying to hear is a simple process when somebody says, take something to the EDC, we'll know where it's exactly supposed to go. It's a confusion issue more than anything, unless we just simply say all the time, Economic Development Committee or Economic Development Commission.
Okay, well, you can always make a motion at,
I can.
At the board. other comments on the underlying motion? Did you want to comment, Ms. Clark?
I am of the same thought process as Mr. York, and I think advisory is really an excellent term because you are a body of advisors. I think that would keep it very clear, and we'd have differentiation. So if Mr. York ends up making a motion, I would be happy to second it.
I'll go ahead. I'll move it. I'll throw it out there. I'll move that we change the Economic Development Commission to the Economic Advisory Committee.
Okay. Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. Do you need to make any further opening? No. Comments now on the motion by Chairman York. Mr. Bond.
I'd just like to ask Sean and Ted, what's your impression of that? I was going to offer up a friendly amendment to change committee to commission. Economic Advisory Commission.
I'm happy to keep commission. I'm just the important is the middle. Just
the middle.
So we change
just,
it.
Yeah.
So
I concur with that.
Okay.
Okay. Friendly amendment's been accepted.
So the motion is now amended to be an Economic Advisory Commission. So let me get your impressions of that.
My first reaction would be maybe you guys should change your name, but. If that doesn't work, I mean, quite frankly, I think whatever the name change is going to be, nobody will like it, and then they'll get used to it, and we'll move on. So I don't want to spend too much time on the name.
Sean?
I think that's fine. I mean, it aligns, as Supervisor Clark said, it aligns with what we do. So
I think it's a good idea. I think it eliminates the confusion that we have today. I don't think it's really all that big a deal. Thanks.
Any further comment? All in favor of Chairman York's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No one opposed. The motion passes 5-0. The bylaws will be further amended. Comments? Any further comments on the underlying motion? If not, sorry.
Yeah, I'll just be very brief. I do want to thank everybody that provided inputs to this process. Many people worked hard. There wasn't complete agreement, but there's rarely complete agreement when you make changes like this. I think we have compromised and found middle ground on many positions. I think what's most important is that we bring business into Loudoun, that we structure business the right way into Loudoun. We could come back after this and have you recommend some of these ad hoc committees. I mean, we just approved doing a CPAM around the metro stations. That might be a real good starting point for us to get going. And I would hope we could get your inputs on those as to what you think we ought to be doing from, you know, even next month from an ad hoc committee standpoint. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and give closing. Well, I think we have gone now from 47 to 26, if my math is right. So I think that's Plus 18 voting, yeah. 19. Mr. Hempstreet? We're trying to get the number right now. We had 14 voting members in the board. I thought you had 5 at large.
25.
4 at large, okay. All right. In any event, I think we have reduced the size. Perhaps not quite as much as I wanted to, but we did reduce the size.
And, you feel our pain.
What's that?
You feel our struggles that we went through this too, trying to get the right.
Well, absolutely, and I think that was kind of where I was going to go actually by Mike's comment, which was something that Mr. Lewis just said, which was that people won't like it, and then we move on. And I think anytime you do something like this, there's going to be pluses and minuses, and there's going to be very strong feelings about certain aspects that perhaps don't go down that well. But ultimately, I think we can make it work. And I mean, the important thing is to get you a little bit more aligned with the board's work plan, as has already been said. I want to make sure that we continue to have you at the Economic Development Committee meetings. I want to make sure if there are requests for ad hoc committees, should the full board approve this, we're able to hear those. And so I think we've definitely moved in the right direction with a more effective, a little bit leaner EAC, perhaps, that will help us as we move forward. So All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Nobody opposed. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. The next item tonight is just our monthly update, not annual. And Mr. Reiser cannot be with us because he is out doing his job in San Antonio, hopefully having some good meetings. And so we are joined by the interim assistant director, Miguel Salinas, who has been wearing two hats in front of us recently. So welcome, and please share whatever you'd like with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, members of the committee. And Buddy has said that he's having great meetings out there, so hopefully it proves productive. I'll be very brief. You have in your packet our monthly report that shows the progress on our key economic and department metrics. But I want to add one more thing, and that's the department's really excited about the unprecedented amount of media coverage that we've been receiving since, this whole year. But I want to point out a couple of things, and there's a handout that I gave you, which is a collage of different headlines that we've received in different industry publications, including Virginia Commerce Quarterly and Capital Business. In the Washington Flyer, we had this is the first time the department was mentioned in that magazine, and that reaches about 2.5 million visitors to both Reagan and Dulles airports. But since the beginning of our fiscal year, we've recorded about 80 stories related to our work in these various publications and also on broadcast and online media. And then finally, Buddy just had a data center interview on ABC's Government Matters, which aired once on Channel 7, twice on Channel 8, and was streamed live online. And if you haven't had a chance to see that media clip yet, it is still available on Channel 7's archived website. But we're certainly very pleased with the amount of exposure that we're getting through our marketing and media work and our press releases.
Thank you, Mr. Salinas. I did have the opportunity to see that, and I thought Buddy did a great job, so we're definitely excited about that. Any comments or questions on the monthly update from committee members? Ms. Clark.
One question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if it would be possible to include in future reports job sector stats for the county, just so we could get a better understanding as to the employment and how it's going. So you're reporting each month on the growth or not in other areas. It would be helpful to know in the job sector arena where we're growing and where we're not.
Sure. Supervisor Clark, just to be clear, are you asking for those job sector stats by industry cluster?
Yes.
Okay. We'll certainly look into that.
I know that report. You pull these numbers from the Employment Commission, so I think the question might be what they provide and how often they update it, whether they have that information or not.
We'll certainly look
into it. I know there's information. It's a matter of what format you can get it in.
Okay.
Other questions or comments? If not, just for the information of committee members, we are still looking at the December agenda. There are a few things that were slated to be on that agenda. We're trying to determine whether they need to come to the committee in December, if they can wait. So I will probably have an announcement on that at the December board meeting. It depends on exactly how things play out a little bit. So we'll keep everybody up to date. This meeting is adjourned.